Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to DSM's conference call on the Q3 results of 2013. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. If any participant has difficulties in hearing the conference, please press 00 on your push-button phone. Now I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Huizing. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and welcome to this conference call on the third quarter results we published earlier this morning. Sitting here with me are Mr. Rolf-Dieter Swaalp, Chief Financial Officer and member of the DSM Managing Board, and Mr. Jos op Heij, Senior Vice President, Corporate Control and Accounting. They will elaborate on the results and after that, answer your questions. This call will last 60 minutes. As a reminder, today's presentation may contain forward-looking statements. In that regard, I would like to direct you to our disclaimer about forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. With that, I hand over the call to Mr. Rolf-Dieter Swaalp.
Thank you, Dave. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this conference call on the 2013 third quarter results. I will keep my opening comments short to allow for as much time for questions as possible. DSM maintained its positive momentum in Q3 with a 27% increase in EBITDA, despite an ongoing challenging macroeconomic environment. Profitability increased in all our business clusters, despite the initial impact from adverse currency movements. Nutrition continued its good performance, notwithstanding some headwinds that emerged towards the end of Q3 and which continued in Q4. Western food and beverage markets faced soft demand, as was reported by food and beverage companies at their Q3 results. Additionally, demand for fish oil-based omega-3 dietary supplements is being impacted by sharp retail price increases as the entire value chain pushed through higher raw material prices. In animal nutrition, the recovery in the global animal protein markets remains fragile, creating pricing pressure, especially in vitamin E. Overall, the compelling growth drivers of the nutrition business remain unchanged. We realized 2% organic growth in this quarter and continue to expect a 5% organic growth for Q4. Although this is in comparison with a low base of Q4 2012. Nutrition results will be impacted by adverse currency movements. Material Sciences also delivered solid performance with 27% higher profits. Volumes increased in all business groups of our Performance Materials cluster, with DSM Dyneema delivering double-digit growth. In Polymer Intermediates, the Q3 EBITDA was higher than in Q3 last year, when there were negative effects from plant turnarounds. Cost savings and license income further contributed to the improvement. Cash flow from our operating activities was 310 million euro above the same quarter last year. There is no change to our full-year outlook as given 5 weeks ago at our Capital Markets Day, which you can find in full in the press release. Overall, based on current economic assumptions, DSM continues to expect to move towards its 2013 EBITDA target of 1.4 billion euro. The combination of the factors mentioned in the full outlook statement could, however, result in an EBITDA for 2013 slightly below 1.35 billion. With that, I would like to open the lines for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session. When you have a question, please press star one. The first question is from Mr. Laurence Alexander from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Two questions. First, could you give an update on the merchant caprolactam process and any sense of the odds of an announcement by year-end? Secondly, in the human nutrition market, can you discuss a little bit some of the headwinds you're seeing, for example, in the omega-3s, and how that will play out into next year?
Okay. Yeah, on the first question, I cannot really give an update there. We simply don't do that as long as processes are running and there's nothing completed. The objective is clear, reducing the exposure to the merchant market. in caprolactam, and we are working on that. And as soon as we have something to announce, we will obviously do so. Whether that is before the end of the year or whether that is, I don't know when, is difficult to predict. So we don't want to comment on any like that because you can only be wrong there. So it's all I can say. We are working on it, and when we are done, we will, of course, inform you. On nutrition headwinds, it's basically what we discussed at the Capital Markets Days. It is in the human nutrition area, the general topic that the food companies and beverage companies around the world, you hear more negative news there, sluggish development, slower growth than positive. I mean, also in the last 1 or 2 weeks when you had various quarter three announcements of food and beverage companies, even yesterday. And that is, of course, also what we feel, that's a more general thing. In principle, in the long run, of course, we continue to eat what we eat, and there is usually not much habit change going on, but okay, we'll see. Then we have in human nutrition the specific topic around omega-3 based on fish oil. Last year, the winter fishing season in Peru was very low harvest, which led to very strong increases in prices, which we then and other players in the value chain passed on to the final end consumer. Only that at the end of the day, and we saw that basically in the later part of Q3, and discussed that at the Capital Markets Day, we saw that the consumers did not like that at all and reduced basically their offtake from the shelf and changed their buying behavior, at least for now. That continues for now. We'll see how that unfolds later again next year. What we do know is that the fishing harvest in this winter season is expected to be at normal levels again, which should in principle lead to lower fish oil prices as a consequence. But we'll see how that unfolds. And again, in principle, generally speaking, we do not expect that the habits will really change. Those people who take omega-3 dietary supplements for the health benefits, which are known, they will also continue to do so in future. And we expect that to be a temporary effect, but it's still at the moment, we still are in that period. That is in human nutrition. On animal nutrition, in general, I think we see some fragile development, competitive pressures also on pricing, especially in vitamin E, which we had also seen towards the end of Q3 already and discussed at the Capital Markets Day, and that continued into Q4. So this is basically the nutrition headwinds. There is a general one which is not only affecting nutrition, and that is currency movements. In Q3, the euro strengthened versus certain currencies around the world, including the US dollars, the US dollar, and that cost us versus first half roughly 6 million euro EBITDA. In October, actually, we saw an even stronger euro on average. Now, the last days have again improved a bit, but we'll have to see how that unfolds in the next months.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Mutlu Gundogan from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got three. First of all, on nutrition, can you talk about the supply side and vitamins? I mean, have you seen significant capacity additions because demand isn't that weak to drive prices lower, I would assume? And then secondly, on your inventories, if I look at your balance sheet, these have increased some 26 million quarter on quarter while your revenues has come down. Is this solely a build-up of your fish oil-based omega-3 dietary supplements, or does this number also contain a build-up of other inventory in the other businesses? And then finally, on Dyneema, can you tell us what is driving the double-digit volume growth there? What kind of products are behind that? Thank you.
Okay. Nutrition on the supply side of vitamins, there's only on vitamin E where we see some increased supply possible. It's not fully there. I mean, the two players in China, they have increased their capacity slightly, but that is really compared to the
global capacity small. There is a potential, but I should say potential, new player in that field who is assumed to construct a new factory for vitamin E, but again, of a relatively decent size, so roughly 5% of total global capacity. But it's not clear whether that company really continues with that construction or not. It sometimes looks like they do not continue, but it's not there yet, so it's not producing. It's in construction, but unclear when and if so, if and when they will even finish. On inventories, yes, inventories have come up slightly. There is one effect which I know, but I cannot really comment, fish oil, because the harvesting season now only starts, the next one. It is basically, we had in the last weeks a maintenance shutdown of our large vitamin facility in Switzerland. And before that shutdown, we built up inventories to continue to be able to supply. But that's a normal thing, only that in this case, it is registered in the quarter end. Sometimes it is inside the quarter and you don't see it, and this time it is affecting the end of the quarter number. On Dyneema, the basic driver of the growth is the fiber solutions business, as we call it. I cannot report any specific area of that. I don't know, but Dave, you can add something there. But it is fiber solutions. It's not that we have suddenly, again, large life protection orders. That is not the case.
No, actually, we have been always growing the business nicely, but the comparisons have changed. So what you now see...
But it's good to see.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Martin Rüdiger from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my three questions. First, one clarification question on nutrition. Did the situation worsen by end of Q3 versus your statements you have given at the Capital Markets Day, or is it just the FX exchange rate which is worsened in the final weeks from of Q3 compared to what you said at the Capital Markets Day? On currency in general, in case that today's FX rates remain unchanged going forward, which drag on earnings should we expect next year compared to this year in a year-over-year comparison base? And the third question is on net working capital. Obviously, it increased further by another 50 basis points sequentially versus Q2. We know that nutrition has a high working capital to sales ratio of more than 30%, and any sales growth here, either it's organic or via acquisition, increases the group working capital. So assuming you grow nutrition further, which is your aim, what is the realistic target for working capital to sales ratio at group level?
Okay, nutrition versus Capital Markets Day. Now, Capital Markets Day was on September 26th. So basically at the end of the quarter, what we had reported there is the headwinds which I discussed on an earlier question on the omega-3, on the food and beverage markets in general, on the animal nutrition side, and that has basically continued into Q4. So most likely it will affect Q4 stronger than Q3 because in Q3 it was only visible in the last weeks before the Capital Markets Day. Now, the currency, of course, that got even worse because I think on the Capital Markets Day we were around 135. And there we discussed it already. In the average of October is probably almost 137, but somewhere between 136 and 137. Now, last Thursday, I think it was, it came back to 135. Now, we'll have to see how that unfolds. But it looks... for now, for Q4, as if exchange rates are a little worse for us than in Q3. I don't remember, but I can check what is the average exchange rate in quarter three. What that was...
132.5.
Yeah, 132.5, so that is much better, of course, on the euro versus dollar. Now, a currency looking forward, if we take an assumption like you explained, if we assume the current rate for the full next year, what would that mean versus the average of this year? That is difficult to say for me at the moment. I do not have a number, and I also do, it's difficult to speculate, but the year-to-date average of the 2013 for the US dollar is at 132 almost, slightly better. So if you have 135, then you have basically 3 cents worse. And we indicated, Dave helped me, the value of what's the value of 1 cent worsening as a kind of about 9 million. So if you assume that on average that 3 cents, you would end up somewhere between 25 and 30 million worsening or hurting only from that currency pair, euro versus dollar. Of course, we have a few more which are relevant.
Of course, you have to take a hedge into account.
Yeah, of course. And then, of course, we hedge half of it. On the working capital question, first, I'm not completely happy where working capital has been going. The absolute number has come slightly down in Q3. The percent of total sales has gone up because the sales number is lower than, and we use the last quarter sales times 4 to calculate the percent of sales. That is important to know. That's the way we calculate that. So it's also important for benchmarking. We use the last quarter sales multiplied by 4 as the sales number for calculating percent of sales, the working capital. So the percentage came up by the basis points you mentioned because of a lower sales number. Absolute working capital slightly down. For the year end, we still expect to move towards 21% of sales, as we indicated at the Capital Markets Day. Now, where will it be if nutrition continues to gain importance in the portfolio? Now, we indicated basically the working capital numbers per segment at the Capital Markets Day. So you will find them there in the presentation. So then you can all of you can take the mix you think of for the future, and you will roughly get to a new average for DSM. So we gave you all the numbers as a new insight at the Capital Markets Day to make your own calculations depending on your mix assumptions.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. James Knight from Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got three of them. Firstly, in animal health, you mentioned fragile recovery in the quarter, excluding the issues in poultry and aquaculture. Can you just add a little bit more color around where you see that fragility? Secondly, on the innovation segment, now Kenzie Nash is included, I was a little bit surprised to see volumes only flat, given that they're mostly biomedical volumes. Could you explain that a little? And then thirdly, on Dyneema, it's a nice volume recovery, but maybe you could indicate either, well, preferably quantitatively, but more likely qualitatively, how far we are away from previous peak margins in Dyneema, how much recovery potential that business has. Thank you.
Okay, maybe on the last one first, and Dyneema, I was thinking of the word dangerous to take that assumption, because we have clearly said that in the what you call peak margins, that was only in the periods where we had this large life protection tender business with the U.S. military. That will not come again. At least that is our assumption at the moment. And if that doesn't come again, we will not see those peak margins. But margins in Dyneema, as you know, although we don't quantify it, are, of course, on the better side of the performance materials. And we continue to grow the business, especially in life protection nowadays, which is also by far the larger part in the meantime. But that has very nice margins. But these kind of margins, which you might have thought of at the times of tender business with life protection, that I don't think we will see in the coming periods.
Now, on Kenzie Nash, I cannot really comment, to be honest, but it is a relatively small business, so the volume effect there, it's flat volume, but I think the margins in nutrition, you see it also that the absolute performance overall is continued to be good, so we are relatively close to the famous question on Innovation Center break-even. I think it's nothing to worry about. It's going nicely with Kenzie Nash. The integration has gone well. We look, as you know, every quarter on all the acquisitions, integration, delivering the business case, delivering the synergies. And for Kenzie Nash, I think the report clearly shows a green light there. Now, on the animal nutrition market, it is what we discussed earlier. It is these market issues sometimes with diseases, poultry, aquaculture. We discussed that. I'm not aware of a current new one, but that's also why we continue to say that we expect for total nutrition organic growth of 5% for Q4. But this, situation, which also still had some, still some consequential effects of the drought last year in the U.S., which takes time to really get out of the system, they have led to this pricing pressure. And that continued into Q4. So that's all really I can say. There's not a, that's why we call it fragile. It's not a very strong trend in one or the other direction in volumes or in pricing.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Andrew Benson. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. I noticed you'd that there was an announcement saying that you'd put up your vitamin D prices by somewhere between 20% and 50%. But what your comments on vitamin E seem more cautious. Can you perhaps give more detail on how the overall vitamin markets are trending? Or, I mean, do you think it's going to be more vitamin E or vitamin D in the fourth quarter? Can you just give us an update on where you are with POET and when you think the startup will be, and whether you think the EPA proposed changes are going to have any impact on that, and just perhaps give us an indication where you think net debt's going to end up at the end of this year.
Okay. On the vitamin prices, we announced price increases recently for vitamin D, around 50%, and for a few others, smaller vitamins. Now, in principle, we follow the value over volume strategy, and where we see a chance to increase prices, then of course we will do so, and we will try also to really implement it. And in these areas where we announced these increases, we observed quite some increased market demand and tightness in the supply chain, and that is of course an opportunity. And all of these mainly affect the animal nutrition segment. Now, the other question you had on vitamins and the mix, whether A will grow more than D or whatever, I mean, that I think that in principle we should assume that they are all in this mix, so there is no, at least to my knowledge, not a very specific trend different vitamin by vitamin. So that I would not assume. Also, of course, we should not forget that the total portion in nutrition of vitamins has come down over the last years. I mean, we are now, the whole vitamin business is less than 40% of the total nutrition business in the meantime. And that is the combination of all the, what is it, roughly a dozen different vitamins. So no specific trend I could report on.
Yes, just to follow up on that question. I mean, if you are seeing strong demand and tightening in some areas. Why are you not seeing that in the biggest vitamin E? That was all. It just
well, that's maybe a good question, but it is what it is. And we discussed earlier that some of the competitors also slightly increased their capacities. Maybe that also is a reason, but it is what it is at the moment. That's why we see that fragility, and that is mainly on A and E. And in these three smaller vitamins where we had price increase announcement, that was not the case. Now on forward, no change. What you said earlier, technical completion of the plant is probably in Q1 and then start up sometime early Q2. Next year, everything is on track. The impact from changed legislation, we do not see right now. We still see a huge demand for this this kind of process to produce ethanol in the future. On the net debt, an indication for end of year, my best guess would be, but that we will, of course, still have CapEx. We do not, as you know, expect or plan sizable acquisitions of any nature. We will have a working capital reduction. We will have an EBITDA contribution. So net debt should not, I would guess, materially differ from what we have at the end of Q3.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Andreas Heine from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. On Dyneema, I'd like just to confirm that what you see now is double-digit growth. That is what we can also predict for the coming quarters, so it's not driven by any projects. That's the first question. And then on animal nutrition, there was still an organic growth of 1%, and looking on the price component, which was minus 3% for total nutrition, but probably somewhat worse than that in animal nutrition, I would expect that the volume growth in that business is still in the magnitude of 5 to 7%. So is it just fragile, but in general, a strong growth, what you see here? And last but not least, on Tortuga and Fortitec, sequentially the sales were down, but the earnings were up, so the margin improved. Is that a seasonal effect, or is there some cost savings or integration benefits you had at these two companies? Thanks.
Well, Dyneema, I hope it will continue to grow. I'm not aware of any specific project impact in the quarter. So it's just doing the regular business, finding more applications, especially in fiber solutions, and try to grow the company.
Mm-hmm.
On animal nutrition, I agree that there was some volume growth. I think 5 to 7 is more than at least what I believe. But on our side, I don't know exactly how that guesstimate comes. But you are in principle right with your basic logic that because of what we say, there is more price pressure in the animal nutrition, and that means if the total growth, organic growth, is 1%, there must be good volume growth. On the Tortuga and Fortitec, of course, we are integrating these companies, and with the integration, there comes synergy development. Remind you that in Fortitec, the most important synergies, and that is the backward integration with our own production of active ingredients, is not in the Fortitec number, that is in the basic nutrition number. But of course, Fortitec and Tortuga both have also own programs inside which help develop the business. And in Fortitec, for example, they already, the previous owner, they had built or were in the process of building a new blending site in Poland to replace a Danish site in Europe, so go to a lower cost place, and that is in process now to transfer the production. And in Tortuga, we also look at some site restructuring. So that, of course, helps also with the margins, but that's fully in line with what we have said earlier when there was a little bit of question marks or maybe even critique on why we acquire a Tortuga business, which was clearly below our target margin in nutrition. And we always said that with the synergy development, which we expect, we feel comfortable that these businesses also will move into the target range of our nutrition business. Okay?
Yeah, thanks.
The next question is from Mr. Peter McKee from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. I've got three questions about nutrition, if I can, please. First, just a housekeeping one. Can you give us a bit of guidance on the nutrition DNA line? If I remember rightly, there was some adjustments to take place at some stage once you'd completed your fair value calculations. So I wonder if you could give us a sort of ongoing quarterly DNA line in nutrition. Second, I think in response to James's question, you reaffirmed your 5% organic growth rate for nutrition in the fourth quarter. Can you sort of give us perhaps some of the factors that are necessary to achieve that, where the acceleration is coming from? Do you need to get traction on these other vitamin price increases, for instance? If you see further price decreases in E, might that sort of reduce that rate? I'm just trying to understand what the variability might be on that organic growth number. And the final question, I might be missing something very obvious here, but can you, what's the impact of higher fish prices on a bottle of vitamin supplements in a shop? You talk about the impact on consumer activity from rising omega-3 prices, but you yourself mentioned that people have taking these supplements for health benefits, I'd have thought they'd be relatively price inelastic. I just wonder if you could give us an idea of what the impact has been on the retail price of some of these supplements, please.
Yeah. Okay. The nutrition DNA line, I guess because we almost completed the purchase price allocation for Tortuga in Q3, that the Q3 DNA should be quite representative for the running rate now. Because that was the last one where only the final touch of the PPA is missing, which had to be done. Of course, I don't talk about the very small acquisitions like Unitech in, say, end of June, but for the larger ones. So I guess that the Q3 DNA, which is 57 million euro, is probably a good representation. On the growth in Q4, yeah, basically what we believe is, I mean, first of all, I said the base period, of course, was low, and it was especially low that in the second half of last year we saw the most of the price decreases. So we more or less think that on the price side, compared to last year Q4, not so much will happen. And if the volume growth will continue, also, as discussed on the previous question of Andreas Heine, then that total organic growth in nutrition should be reachable.
Could I just interrupt just there one moment? How do you see organic sales in nutrition sequentially then from Q3?
Oh, I don't have a number for that.
Okay.
Have a number for that. On the omega-3, to my knowledge, looking back on first on the one end, the fish oil price increases in Peru were around 70%, if I remember correctly. The final consumer price in the shelf in the U.S. of the dietary supplements were around 25%. And I don't know the details of the cost calculations in the steps in between, obviously, but overall, it seems that the 25 is more than recovering what the price increase to the retail was. And so basically, the retail seemed to have pushed for regaining some margin, which they might have lost in the periods before. And that was felt by the consumers as a bit too much for now. But as I said earlier, I think we believe the basic trends, of course, and the health benefits are clear for those people who take it. They really want it. So it is most likely a temporary effect, which will also be supported by better fishery season coming forward.
Thank you very much, Rob Dieter.
The next question is from Mr. Patrick Lambert from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Two questions. The first one, again, on animal nutrition. Could you comment a little bit on the geographic mix that you have and what you're seeing in the market? Because we had comments that Brazil is actually picking up, at least in meat production, and China with the New Year preparation could also boost. If you can comment a little bit on what you're seeing currently, despite what you've said on the global trends. That's question number one. And question number two, very simple, on CapEx, can you update us on, I think CapEx in Q3 was slightly lower than what we were going for. So if you could update us on your plans for the year and next year, thanks.
Yeah, on animal nutrition geographically, I'm not aware of major trend differences around the world. Of course, we had the various diseases in Mexico, in Thailand, in China. Those were local or regional effects. Of course, we have the big entry into the Brazilian market with the Tortuga acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that we grow nicely in China. We also are finishing a construction of an animal nutrition test center in China, which I visited just recently, that will also push the Chinese sales up. We also made in China, I think, one small premix site acquisition this year. So that also extended our base, and we are continue to push our franchise system in China. So for us, China is a nice growth market. Brazil, obviously, is a very nice growth market. And then, of course, the big markets are Europe and the United States.
Yeah.
On the CapEx.
Do you think the Chinese New Year could make a stop to the impact of diseases or not?
Right. To my knowledge, that is already over. It was in the second quarter, in fact. So we had in the second quarter, we had this bird flu in China in April, May. In July, I think it was a similar thing in Mexico, and also in Q3, we had an issue with shrimp production in Thailand. Now, CapEx, basically for this year, the indication is unchanged at roughly 700 million CapEx. For next year, you have to think of the change of consolidation. You know that, as we informed you in detail at the Capital Markets Day, and you find some numbers there in the slide pack, that as of next year, we deconsolidate joint ventures, 50-50s, and that will have an impact on a pro forma basis on the 2013 numbers of roughly 100 million lower CapEx. So of our 700 this year, roughly 100 are spent in 50-50s. So on a comparable basis, this is then 600 million, and that is most likely also the order of magnitude, so excluding joint ventures for next year.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Andrew Stott from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Rolf Dieter. Just a question back on this 5% growth rate for Q4. I'm trying to get a sense of how much is this expectation of improvement and how much of it is based upon what you've seen so far and what the order books look like. That's number one. And number two is on the same division, on nutrition. The margin improvement in Q3 year on year is much more dramatic than in the first half. So what is the shift in Q3 from the first half on margin improvement? Thanks.
Now, on the 5% for Q4, I mean, this is our expectation. The order book does not really give you a lot of insight. The only thing, based on the trading which we have had in October, the business does not see a reason to change that expectation for Q4 compared to the Capital Markets Day. On the margins in nutrition, yeah, of course, that is also a very large mix of different businesses. The currencies play a role, and especially the dollar did not help in the Q3. So what drives the margin improvement? There's also profit improvement programs going on in nutrition, which help, of course. And then you have the mix. You have you saw that we had a very good margin in Fortitech in the last quarter. We discussed also in an earlier question the synergies. The whole infant nutrition business is doing very well, which goes back to Martech acquisition. So overall, we are nicely in the range of our target margin. That's fine. And of course, margins will always fluctuate a bit here and there. I mean, there's nothing like an absolutely stable margin and continues like a machine. That doesn't exist.
And can I?
But it's good to see. So it's just another sign of why we are so happy about the development in nutrition, despite some challenges and headwinds sometimes. But the principal dynamics of the whole business are supporting that for the future, and that should grow nicely, better than in the last quarters, as we have discussed, and keep our margin in the range.
Can I just check what at the group level? The amount of cost savings you've booked for the 9 months, where are we with that?
I do not have a specific 9 months number, but the indication which we gave for at the Capital Markets Day is basically the same. If anything, maybe slightly better, but not a big difference.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Ms. Evgenia Molotova from Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have several questions, if I may. One is regarding Poet JV. As far as I understand, Novozyme still is a supplier till 2017. Is it the correct year, please? Then on your pharma business, on custom manufacturing, if you could update us, what are the targets and where are you on potential partner search, and if you have any deadlines for when you want to decide something about the destiny of the custom manufacturing business. Thank you.
Okay, on the Poet JV, I mean, the general progress we discussed earlier already, and on the supply agreement for enzymes with Novozymes, look at Dave, I think your 2017 is correct.
Yeah.
On the partner search and the partnering objective for our custom manufacturing pharma business, yeah, as we said, this is the objective. We are working on it, but we will only report something when we have something. And I cannot tell you when exactly that will be. I mean, these processes are always so uncertain. They can drag on, they can finish, and I mean, history or experience, I would better say, has told me not to guess and guess on timings. When it happens, be sure you will be almost the first ones to know. And most likely then, when we have something, we'll discuss that also intensively in a call like this.
Thank you. Also, just one thing to clarify, in your press conference call, you said that you would like to pursue growth in food specialties and enzymes. Does it mean that we should expect more acquisitions in food specialties?
In principle, if we want to do acquisitions, we are willing to do them wherever they make sense, and that can, of course, include food specialties. You know, of course, our statement that for now we do not want to engage in any sizable acquisitions, because we first need to focus and concentrate our efforts on integrating what we bought, and amongst others also we did a few acquisitions in food specialties. And that has to be done first, and then deliver what was promised for the investments in buying new companies. And when we see that this is happening and that this is going all the right direction, then at some moment in the future we might decide again to open the valves for new acquisitions, but not for sizable acquisitions at the moment. And new food specialties is a potential area, as we have seen in the last 2 years, where next to the larger part of nutrition, which is headquartered in Switzerland, also food specialties received some acquisition funding.
Yes. Thank you so much.
The next question is from Mr. Rakesh Patel from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi there. One question, or two questions, if I may. First of all, I wondered if you could give us some insight in how you're looking at the regulatory scrutiny of the infant formula market in China. How do you think that would affect DSM? It seems as though the government's targeting a more consolidated industry. So just wanted to get some of your thoughts on how you think that would play out for you. And then secondly, in terms of the performance of the acquisitions, if I remember rightly, I think on the last call, we you kind of alluded to the acquisitions that you'd carried out were doing a pro forma double-digit revenue growth. I just wondered if that had continued into Q3 or whether actually any of the acquisitions were causing or seeing a moderation in growth. Thanks very much.
Okay. On the acquisitions, I think the... Let's only talk about the real big ones. I mean, Martek, Ocean Nutrition Canada, Tortuga, Fortitec, and maybe Kensinash. That was the smallest of the five big ones. Most of them, not Fortitec, although Fortitec also nicely grows. The others and Kensinash. The other three, Ocean Nutrition, Martek, and Tortuga, were driven actually in the synergies, basically with growth assumptions. Bringing the these companies, the materials which these companies made from the regions where they were active to the rest of the world. That was the main motivation, and that continues. There's no change to that. So we have, of course, discussed extensively the Ocean Nutrition situation with the Omega-3 pricing and the volume consequences. So keep that aside. There's no change to the previous statements. On the infant formula and China, I think, first of all, I would say it's good if China goes in the direction to have a stronger focus on quality and good customer service in a general way, also with the regulatory authorities. That is very important in general for the industry. Our own development in infant nutrition, of course, depends mainly on, first, that the customers decide to fortify the infant formula with omega-6. That is the main driver, because by far not all infant formula products in the world are fortified with omega-6 yet. And that is the most important for us. But the basic push of the Chinese government for a stronger focus on quality and everything around that, of course, is very much needed and welcome.
That's great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Sachin Soni from Kempen & Co. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My question is regarding a 14 to 15% EBITDA margin for 2015. I mean, in a quarter where you suffered some headwind from exchange rate, you're still at 14.3%. And this margin, I understood, is excluding impact what you could have from pharma or polymer intermediates. How ambitious is this target? To me, it looks like the bar is way too low. You are there already. So why mention such target?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, of course, right, you can calculate the number for the quarter, and that is in the range. By the way, the target is on current portfolio. So if any of the projects or the work behind polymer intermediates and pharma make a meaningful difference, then, as we said at the capital markets days, we would adapt the target. So it's current portfolio. But still, nutrition is at target margin. So I assume, basically, in the target going forward, and that is not only for a quarter but for a full year, and the full year number this year is still lower, that nutrition will not contribute on the total margin much. It will have to come from improvements mainly in the other areas and predominantly in performance materials. So, is it ambitious or not ambitious? Yeah, that question was already raised, and some of you felt it was maybe not too ambitious at the Capital Markets Day. Now, let's see but I would not take a single quarter as an indication there. I think a full year delivery is a bit more.
Perfect. Thank you.
Time-wise, we only have time left for one short question before we have to round off.
Yes, the last question is from Ms. Carol Chen from UBS. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, sorry, it's Joe Yu, here. just very quickly, very quick question. Have the omega-3 prices started to come down? And is there any inventory write-down risk as a result?
To my knowledge, both not.
Okay. So we just have to wait for the additional harvest next year, and then you'd see some price correction.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, then. Let me then finish the call, and thank you all for your participation and all your questions. Of course, Investor Relations is available if you have more questions. Let me summarize then that we felt this quarter really shows a positive momentum maintained for the company, even in a challenging environment. Total EBITDA 27% up, and really across all four business segments. Our focus for now remains, of course, on the full integration of acquisitions and the delivery of synergies, and that together with the profit improvement program will help improve our returns. The current trading conditions are similar to those emerging at the end of Q3, while the currency exchange rates even deteriorated in October at least. Nevertheless, we are firmly on track to deliver a significant increase in EBITDA for the year, and the outlook we gave at the Capital Market Day remains unchanged. Thanks again, and see you at another time.
Okay, this concludes our conference call for today. Thank you very much for your attention and your questions. If you have any further questions or need background information, please feel free to contact IR. With that, I now hand the call back to the operator.
This concludes the DSM's conference call. Thank you for attending. You can disconnect your line by hanging up the telephone. Have a nice day.